the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. All right, there's a part of me that looks at the clock, and it is 10 till 11. All right, so you don't have seatbelts. Pretend you have seatbelts, because we're going to go. All right, so hang with me. This will not work, I promise you, if you sit there and just stare at me. All right, so all you guys up there, can you hear all right, see me all right? I see you, and I see you if you don't participate. Welcome to week number 3 of Failure is Not an Option. I want to welcome all of those online as well. Good morning to all of you. I'm grateful for Life Church for the framework that they provided for this series. And you know that if you weren't paying attention earlier, like, okay, so this is a marriage relationship series, right? We're going to have fun. So it might be a little PG this morning. So if you have kids in the room, that's why we have age-appropriate teaching for our kids. So if you don't want them to hear anything, maybe you should take them to Restore Kids. All right. If you missed the last couple weeks, let's review. We're making and keeping 5 commitments, right? 5 commitments that we believe will impact our marriages. It'll impact every relationship that we have. So if you missed the first week, what did we say? What was our topic? Our topic was, everybody say it, pursue God. That was the first week, pursue God. Remember, when we pursue God, when we do it as a couple in relationship, our mantra is, I will always pursue the one with my two. I will always pursue the one with my two. When we pursue God with our spouse, we will always pursue him with our two. Now, if you're single, not married, then this was your mantra, and is your mantra. I will pursue the one while preparing for my two. I will pursue the one while preparing for my two. So we pray together in our marriages. We pray together. We pursue God. We seek God. And some of you probably started off praying. You had good intentions, but you've gotten distracted. You probably hit the snooze button. If you don't remember what the snooze button is about, go back to week 1 and listen to it on our podcast. You'll see it there. Never stop praying. We pursue God together. Last week we talked about how to fight fair and what to say, how we say it. Say it with me. We talked about fight fair, right? Fight fair. That was week number 2. And today we're going to talk about how to have fun. Next week we'll talk about how to stay pure. And finally we'll wrap it up, the 5th week of this series, and we'll talk about never giving up. Never giving up. So here are 5 commitments. Let's say them together. Pursue God, fight fair, have fun, stay pure, never give up, because failure is not an option. Today I want to talk to you about having fun in your marriage, because so many people don't have fun in their marriages. In fact, I'll give you a couple of quotes that I read online. You ready? One quote said, a man doesn't know what happiness is until he's married, and by then, it's too late. If the ladies were offended, here's one from should level the playing field. Guys, never laugh at your wife's choices. After all, you were one of them. Yep. So in our marriages, unfortunately, too often there are couples that have a lot of fun when they're dating. When they get married and life happens, they stop having fun. They stop enjoying each other. And I would submit to you this morning that God really takes delight in the blessing of marriage. God really takes delight when we are in relationship with each other, when we have fun together. Ecclesiastes 9:9, the wise man Solomon, King Solomon, wrote these words. He said, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for your earthly toil. How does the Bible tell us to live? To live happily. Can you say that? Happily. Yes, to live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life. God has given you perspective. He's given you opportunity. And sometimes life does feel meaningless, doesn't it? Like you go to work, You drink some coffee, that's meaningful. You go to home and you just live your life. But God's given you your wife. If you're married, God's given you your wife. She is your reward for all your earthly toil. Live happily with her. Without fun, without adventure, without romance, without physical intimacy, marriage is often simply reduced to a business relationship. It's like two roommates. They live under the same roof, and yet they're living entirely different lives. The communication simply becomes about business. Like, you do this, I'll cover this, I'll take care of this one, you take care of that one, especially once you have kids. See, people don't fall in love because they don't have fun together. They don't fall in love because, man, we're having a bad time, but he's awesome. No, we don't do that. How often do you hear a girl say, "Oh, man, we were together last night. He's so boring and awesome. I just watch while he games plays games, and he vegges out, and yeah, he's dull and boring, but he's awesome." No, what you hear is, "Oh my gosh, we have so much fun together. We have so many things in common. We just have a great time together. We have fun when we're together." See, when we're dating, when we're wooing the women that we're attracted to, when we're wooing the people that we love, we make sure we're having fun, don't we? We make sure we're doing things that we love to do together. It's a good thing, because there probably wouldn't be any weddings if that wasn't the case. Guys, so often we pursue a woman and we catch her, right? And then we get married. And then we go on and we pursue something else. We're hunters at heart. Right? We're hunters. I mean, that's what happens. Look, there are a lot of hunters in the room. I don't happen to be one of them. So all I'm doing is going by what I hear. But I would assume that when you make the kill, when you get that deer, there is something happening out there in the woods, like a "rah, got him." The same thing happens when you catch the wife. "Whoa, I got her." And you do the same thing to her that you did to the deer. You stuff her and put her on the wall. And then you say, "Let's go kill something else." It's about the conquering, right? It's about going after it. It's going after it. That's a problem if you're going to get married. So today, I want to give you all kinds of, there's three types of fun that every couple has to have. Just for the record, they're fun. If you disagree, I know they're cheesy, but you're going to remember them, right? That's the ticket right there. It's going to be effective. So let's take a look. We're going to talk about having face-to-face fun. Everybody say face.
Face.
Yes. That's where we get together. We enjoy each other's company. We're face-to-face, because so often in dating, couples can talk and talk and talk and talk ad nauseum for hours on end. My daughter Morgan and her now husband Austin, they would do this for, I don't know, like 2 a.m, they're falling asleep talking on the phone. And they just like approach sleep and like just be listening to each other breathe on the phone, I guess. But not heavy breathing, like, you know, appropriate breathing. Oh, we do that. And then when we get married, all of this face-to-face time ends up being business time. Who's going to get the kids? You've got to get him to soccer, her to piano practice. She's got dance, and we got to get the oil changed, and the air conditioner broke down, and we don't maintain this face-to-face conversation. It's not intimate. It's no longer working. We need to have our face-to-face time. What I want to show you is three different portions of Scripture between Solomon and his first wife, the Shulamite woman, in the book of Song of Solomon. Yes, we are going to preach on the Song of Solomon on Sunday morning. It's in the Bible. It's not my fault. The Shulamite woman was apparently his first wife before he married 700 other women and 300 concubines or mistresses. Lord have mercy. Can you guys imagine? Like, I have my hands full. full with this one. I can't imagine 1,000. This is crazy. All right, we'll see how their relationship, Solomon and the Shulamite woman's relationship, progressed because of these different types of fun. So take a look. The first one is face-to-face fun. It's in Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. Watch how Solomon compliments her, starting at her feet, and romantically works his way up to her eyes. Watch this. How beautiful your sandaled feet, O prince's daughter. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of a craftsman's hands. This guy is good. Your navel is a rounded goblet that never lacks blended wine. I have no idea what that means, but it sure worked for her. Your waist is a mound of wheat encircled by lilies. Your breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Look. Evidently, he's really excited that there are two of them and that they're twins. They're both there. Now, just for the record, I've got about 14 other things I'd like to say about right now, but I am maturing in the ways of God, and so I'll refrain. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are the pool of Hezbon by the gate of Bath Rabim. What is he doing, you guys? He is talking to her intimately. He's talking to her face to face. And what is he doing? He's giving her details. Men, details, details, details. We want the headlines. They want the details. So give them the details. It's important. They want to talk about things that we sometimes don't really care about. But this is important. Your relationship works best when you have intimate, ongoing conversations. So don't neglect this. Guard the intimacy of your face-to-face fun. It happens to all of us, though, that life comes along and starts squeezing us out, right? We don't maintain it unless you're reminded by the pastor on Sunday morning, right? Make it a priority. So I'm going to take a risk and have my wife, Brenda, come up here for a second. See, cut her mic when I say, okay? Just cut her mic when I tell you to.
See, Bass, come on now. You had a risk saying all that stuff you just did when I had the mic.
Yeah, see, there's sometimes when I tell her, hey, can you read my message? She didn't read this one.
Exactly. If you saw me, I was wilting a little bit in the front seat.
So, Brenda, there have been seasons when we didn't guard our time and have as much enjoyment together. Can you talk a little bit about how that impacted us and maybe what advice you could give to other couples who are struggling with the same thing?
Well, you talked a little bit ago about kids and when they're younger and how busy it is and how easy it is to get wrapped up in a role. Mm-hmm. So moving from husband-wife to, I mean, there were times when it felt more like roommates. We were business partners. We were
mom, dad,
mm-hmm. Right. And so I did the role of mom pretty good. Let's just say I became mom.
And she's an awesome mom.
And
right?
I lost my ability. I was so involved in that became not only who I was, but it took away from us. So he would get home, and he mentioned, I think last week, about how I thought it was so, incredible. Like, it was very good for me and romantic to me when he would spend time with the kids. So then that's what that became. He'd come home, okay, now this is your time to spend with the kids. And then we're both, toast. And it was, it didn't work. I mean, we thought it was working. We were doing all the things. You were working, I was taking care of the kids, we were getting them where they needed to be. But again, just got lost in the new role.
And sometimes you don't know that until you're on the other side of it, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and go, what happened?
Right.
What happened to us?
Right. Yeah. So there are these seasons, and there will be seasons, whether you have kids or not. It's something to be looking for. And a lot of you right now are in that season of kids. There are tons of kids in here. And so
well,
I
not
would
in
just
here.
Well, yeah, they're over there.
Over there. Right. Yeah, all right. To be clear.
You've PG. Made a lot of kids. I know, I'm trying to keep it clean.
And 9 months from now, woohoo!
I know. And who knows how many more. I would just say to you, just take a second and stop and evaluate what it is that you're doing. And make sure, because you know what? You've got your kids for about 18, or I guess for us, it was a little bit more. We had this revolving door. You have your kids for about 18, 21 years, and then you're back to just this person. And if you don't keep just vigilant and diligent about this relationship, mm-hmm. you won't like each other when you're back yeah. to just the two of you.
Right.
You won't even know each other. So important in the different seasons that you stay rooted and grounded in who you are in Christ and who you are with your spouse.
Yep, that's a good word. That'll preach. Thank you, Brenda. Can we thank her?
Okay.
Do you want to say something more?
I want to say something more, if I can. I know I've got this time.
It's 11:05.
Okay, but listen, remember what we were okay. talking about yesterday.
Okay, go ahead.
So many times, I just want to say this, so many times we can look, are you making faces?
No. Just go ahead.
Okay, so many times we can get caught up in life and have this thing that's between us, and if we don't address it, so our problem is communication across the board. That's the thing that kind of trips us up, and every time we finally get to communicating, it feels like we are on like opposite sides of this thing. And right now, this thing, I know a lot of you can't relate, is menopause. And I'm just going to call it menopause because it's the family show. Yes.
PG, though.
I know, but yeah. So it's super important. What we discovered is that we were each on a side of this. And I felt like it was my job to take care of this issue. And I felt like he was standing over there saying, figure it out, woman, because this isn't working. So I just feel like whatever the issue is for you, whether it's finances, whether it's kids, whatever it is that thing between you, if you can just put that thing in front of you.
Both of us look at it and determine that we will solve that problem or that issue in our marriage, in our relationships. If it's right there in front of you, you can't avoid it. And you both have to step into it. It's not just one or the other. It's not just her issue. It's not just my issue. We're in it together, right?
So, yeah, side by side, we are looking at the issue. That's it.
Thanks, baby. Fasten the seat belts a little faster, or tighter, you know? Okay, because here we go. The second thing we need to do is what I call side-to-side fun. Everybody say side-to-side.
Side-to-side.
Yeah, say it again, side-to-side. This is where you're hanging out with your best friend. You're doing something you enjoy with your wife or your husband. It's enjoying time doing common activities. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 11. Come, my lover, let's go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. In other words, let's have a weekend getaway. Let's have someone take care of the kids. Let's leave the house. Let's go away and just have some fun together. Now, women typically love the face-to-face time. It's a way that they feel cherished. Although both sexes thrive when emotional connection is strong, but for us men, we generally crave more the side-to-side. Let's do something together. Sometimes it's just hanging out, doing something that we both enjoy. Other times, it is it's this time where we say, I'm not so interested in that, but I'll go along because I want to be with you. We invest in each other. I like what one guy said. He said, I always like to be by my wife's side, and I always hold her hand. He said, I do it for two reasons, because I love her, and because if I let go, she goes shopping, so I just always hold her hand. I don't know. Maybe he wants to play golf, And you go, I don't like golf. It's boring, but you go along because you want to be with him. You want to do something together. Maybe he likes hunting. I don't like to kill anything, so I don't want to go. But you go because you want to go be together. Some of you guys like playing board games together or going mountain climbing or taking long walks, sitting out on the back deck. Whatever it is, find that side-to-side time. It's important. It's very, very important. Now, every now and then in my supreme godliness and in my love for Brenda, I'll watch an entire Project One Ray show that's all about fashion design. And why do I do that? Because otherwise I might have to put puzzles together with her, and I'd rather watch Project Runway than do the puzzles. But we're together, right? I've even gotten a pedicure with her, which wasn't too bad. Kind of felt good. The only thing is, if you're the only male in the place, that's a little awkward. Some guy walked in, and I thought, there's more than one of us now. But he just wanted to buy a gift certificate for his wife. And he kind of just, he glanced over me with a respectful smile and a nod. Or maybe it was a smirk and a shake of the head. I don't know. Look, all you guys get one chick thing, right? Mine is candles. Some of you like the nail, getting the nails done. Just one. If you have more than one, okay, I'll give you a pass. You could have two. But here's the thing. Ladies, you like for him to talk. You want him to talk. There are two times when a man is most likely to open up and talk to you. Are you ready for this? Yes? Are you ready? The first is when he's done something with you that he enjoys. And the second is when he's done something with you that he enjoys. That's good preaching. Three types of fun that every married couple must have. Let's say them aloud. What's the first type? It's face-to-face. See, you're remembering these. What is the second type? Side to side. Are you ready for the third one? I didn't think so, but you'll have to say it anyway. It's belly button to belly button, all right? Belly button to belly button, right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, let's break it down. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Come, my beloved, let's go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let's go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. Watch this. Now the Shulamite woman is saying to Solomon, she says, come, my lover, let's go to the countryside. Let's go to the vineyards. Let's see if the vines are budded. Here's the fun part. If their blossoms have opened, and if their pomegranates, there we go. If their pomegranates, whatever that word is. If they're in bloom, you try this. What does she say? Somebody help me out. She says, and there I will give you my love. What is she saying in modern English? How does it translate? She's saying, let's run to the park and have sex. You shouldn't do that, though. You'll get arrested. She's saying, let's have some belly button to belly button. Let's have some physical romantic fun. And you ask, does God really like that? Dude, he created you. He created you and me. Yes, he delights in our sexuality. All right? Proverbs 5, 18, 19. This is a great scripture. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Look, be married. Be married 30, 40, 50. I just had one of my mom and dad's best friends. He just passed away. They were married for 61 years. 61 years. They enjoyed each other. They were in love with each other. Verse 19, a loving doe, a graceful deer, I don't know about all that. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. This is the word of God. May he bless the reading of his word. Yes, sir. Now, let me give you some advice about this, because I believe one of the best things you can do for your marriage is to have some physical and intimate fun. But if you dismiss everything else we've talked about this morning, making the investment is understanding the wants, needs, and desires of your spouse. If you make it all about yourself, if you make it all about your sexual satisfaction, you're going to mess up and you're going to come up short. Your relationship's going to be diminished. It'll never be what you hoped for when you got married. So let me give some advice to the men and then the women. Men, first of all, work on your approach. Right, work on your approach. The same old stuff doesn't always work out. You get out of the shower, you're like, whoa, you want some of this? No. No, don't do that. Work on your approach. Romance, conversation, bring home a gift. Find out what her love language is, because if you don't know what she really loves, you're screwed, buddy, because you bring a gift home, she's going to look at you and go, all I wanted you to do was rub my back. Physical touch might be her love language. You got to know this. You can't just assume she wants you to do what you think you should do, right? And women, you know. You know that we can make everything sexual. Like, hey, baby, can you get me a bowl of cereal? Yep, give me a bowl of cereal. I'll get you a bowl of cereal. I'll stir that up, right? It's like front of mind. So work on your approach. Be loving, be tender, be curious outside the bedroom. She's not just a means to an end. What is her love language? Treat her like the queen she is, and you'll experience satisfaction in your relationship. That's second to none. You guys all right? I'm not done yet. You guys all right? Okay, good. Ladies, my advice for you, make an approach. Any approach, make an approach. Listen, get a little romantic. There's this thing called lingerie. Go on a date, play some music, draw a bath, give a back rub, put on some Marvin Gaye. Look, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are going, we don't have time for this. I'm telling you, you don't have time not to have fun in your marriage relationship. We have little kids. I don't care. Put on Dora the Explorer and make a run for it. Just, you're good. The offering better be good today. That's all I've got to say. Seriously, though. Ladies, generally speaking, we can all agree, not always true, but generally speaking, men desire physical intimacy more often than most women. So, when you withhold, this is a crisis for a man. It's the equivalent of when he withholds emotional support, when he withholds emotional intimacy. That's a crisis too. One of the greatest ways you can love each other is by coming together, renewing your covenant. Sex is spiritual before it's anything else. It's the picture of two becoming one. It is a blessing from God, and it is the way that we serve one another. Some of you are saying, but you don't know my husband. He's a jerk, and I'm mad at you for telling me to have sex with him. Well, I know. Men can be jerks, and this is a two-way street. So men, if you're a jerk, knock it off. No jack wagons allowed. Barring physical limitations, though. Listen, you start doing what once you did, and you'll get what you once had. So what are we going to do? If you want what you once had, do what you once did. You got married because you had fun. Start having fun again. We're going to seek God. We're going to pursue God, the one that has come for us, the one who has come for our redemption. We pursue Him with our two. Or we pursue Him while preparing for our two. We're going to fight fair. And we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. Get creative. Make it a priority. Now go pack. Go pack and invest in the marriage that God has given you. Enjoy life with the wife that God has blessed you. And if you think we're proof positive, we're an example of what can happen when you think you can't get from here to there. But you dig your heels in and you say, no, God has brought us together. Divorce is not an option. Failure is not an option. By the way, for those of you in the house this morning that have gone down that road, grace covers you. Grace covers me. We all need grace. So no condemnation, no judgment, grace covers you. Let us pray. In fact, let's stand and then we'll pray. Father, I pray today that your Spirit would minister life. We get busy. We forget to even enjoy your goodness and your presence. God, forgive us for neglecting to praise you, to lift our hands in praise to you. God, forgive us for assuming that the good gifts you've given us are ours without responsibility. Forgive us for not remembering that this is the day that you have made, that this is the day that we would rejoice and be glad in. I don't know what it would be for each of you But maybe this morning you could be thankful that you've got good health, or you've got friendships, or a roof over your head, or a good job. Or for years and years you felt lonely and you wanted to be married, and now you're married and you can thank God that He brought you someone. Or you could thank God that He's going to take you through this cluster that you're in right now, the one that is just hard to step into and out of. God is here. He is going to bring you through. So we recommit today. We recommit ourselves and we say, God, I commit to enjoy this gift with my spouse. Some of the marriages in the house this morning, you've neglected some of the fun. You had fun before. You want to have it again. This series has been a series where we have raised our hands in commitment every week, and I don't know that we should stop now. So you can bow your heads if you want. You can just keep them open, look around. But I think if you are in the house this morning and you're married and you want to recommit to having fun in your marriage, to recognize again that you're in this together, would you raise your hands so that I can pray for you? Just raise your hands high. If you're married and you're committing to again having fun in your relationship, then Father, you see all these hands. You see all these hands in this space. We're committed here at Restore for restoration and transformation to happen in individual lives and in marriages. So God, I pray your peace and your blessing and your beautiful spirit to just penetrate these marriages, these relationships. May we be the people of peace that will look at each other in the eye, express value and grace and mercy because we have first of all received it from you. Heavenly Father, would you bless now and strengthen every relationship in the house this morning? And we give you thanks. We